Thank you for joining us today on Answers. We have all heard this statement: actions speak louder than words. A profession or a confession of faith is meaningless unless action is associated with it. The Greek word translated testimony is martyrius and refers to a lifestyle more than to a final act of extreme devotion. Now let's join Pastor and Answers Bible teacher Craig Stallard for the message today. They overcame by the word of their martyrius. As we call on your name,
would you I want to be an overcomer, and it takes the blood of a lamb, but it also takes the word of my testimony. And I want it to be real. We went to a funeral last week. We went to this restaurant in Weslaco on our way back. We got there a little bit early, and I went kind of back to the bathroom there and wanted to use a restroom, and click, 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 the door was locked. Somebody had beat me to it, you know, so I had to stand out there in the hallway. And then something happened. While I'm standing out in the hallway there, there was a roach that came and the top of the door and peeked its head out. And my eyes got big. And I watched that thing, it started coming down, and thought, I got to kill that thing. And my mind started going over everything. Shall I hit it with my hand? And I thought, oh, my. Shall I take my shoe off in here? And then thought, what do people think if they see me taking a shoe off and hold it in my hand like this? What will they be thinking? So I didn't want to do that, but it was on its way down. And then I got thinking, whoever's in that bathroom when I hit this door, what in the world are they going to be thinking when I hit this door? But I was going to hit that door because I was going to kill that cockroach. Finally, it got down about to head level, and it kept moving slowly down. I thought, any noise, and it's going to run. So I better get ready. So I got in my karate stance, and I lift up 1 foot. Okay? I'll tell you why I'm telling you this in just a minute, okay? I lifted that 1 foot. And at some moment, I've got to slam that door. When should I do this? I don't. Then when I heard this kaboosh inside that door, kaboosh, I thought, that's going to freak this thing out. And went wham! I killed it. Here's the moral to the story. Some things you can't do without making a scene. Let me just tell you. You can't do this Christian thing in the closet. Sorry. And then I had to face the door unlocking, and here comes this person out. And I guess I had this sheepish looking grin on my face. But he went on out, and I thought, okay. And then I used the bathroom, then I went out, and then I saw him going to sit down right in the group that we were at. He was from the funeral. So I had to go up and tell him the roach story so he would understand why that great big noise, this guy outside the door was trying to kick the door in. No, I was trying to kill a roach. Some things cannot be done without making a scene. If you're in the business of killing some roaches, people are going to wonder what you're doing. Okay? I'm going to tell you what. This is a devil-defeating church. I want to let you know that. We're not the devil chasing us church. We're the chasing the devil church. And you can't do that in a corner. You can't do that in a closet. If we're going to kill some roaches, there's going to be some mess. There's going to be some noise. But in the name of Jesus, I want to see victory for everybody that has been pushed around and tormented by the enemy. Come on. Come on. Words would not have killed that roach. That roach is not paying attention to my words. But my foot got him. So God is looking for more than words. He's looking for some real action. And for you standing up for what you really know is truth. Abraham, when God came and asked him this, he said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son. I want you to take him to Moriah. And I want you to offer him as a sacrifice unto me on top of that mountain. I know that that was strange to Abraham. But you know what? The next morning he packed everything up and headed out to do it. And you know the story. God stopped him before he actually sacrificed his son. But you know what had taken place through the cultures around and the heathen around that area? There were many heathens who did take their firstborn son. The god Molech was made with a mouth so that people could take their firstborn son and throw him into the mouth of that god and watch their son be burnt. I understand this now. What was God doing? God was checking his people out, seeing, is there a man who believes me enough to do what the heathen would do for their god? God has a right to check us out. Do you have enough courage and enough word of martyrius to do what the heathen would do for their god? You talk about looking freaky. Some people in the world will look freaky for their god. There's a guy that put a whole checkerboard on his face and head. It is the church of body art. So would they change their life for their god? Yes, they would. The heathen would do it. I do not believe in the god of the Muslims. Islam, which means peace, that is not it at all. Whatever their god is, their god's got some lines crossed up in his brain thinking peace is war. Because the only way that they have progressed is by the sword. But there's people there that will strap a bomb to themselves for that supposed god. They will look different for their supposed god. So I just want you to consider the Muslims. If you want to preach a gospel of hate, people will take it and run with it. But I'm sorry, that's not my gospel. My gospel is about the blood of the Lamb, which came from the love of God. Every year there is a gay pride parade. It used to be just in one or two cities, but now it's in every major city and across the United States. And they will look freaky in that parade. They'll dress up and look like they're doing immoral stuff just to show the world they are immoral. They'll show it off. They'll do that for their God. Then it comes to the question, what would we do for the real God? That's what it boils down to. God said this in the New Testament. He said this, that ye are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. And you are a, like everybody else. No, I don't think it said that, did it? You're a peculiar people. And the next part doesn't say, so that you can hide and that nobody can know anything about you or your God. You got to put this together. What does the word say? That ye should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That show forth means this, that you should demonstrate. I want to demonstrate that he is my God. When it's time to praise the Lord, sometimes the devil gets on my shoulder and says, don't do that because people might look at you funny. Well, just say, sorry, but this is not to you. This is for my God. I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, and I'm going to show forth and demonstrate it. So first thing is, let God know we mean business. Come on, let God know we mean business. And then on top of that, I want the angels to know I mean business. And then let hell know. I'm going to say that again. Let hell know. Because this is how the devil was overcome. Let hell know we mean business. I'm gonna close with a story here because it so has impressed me. I've read every word of it in various gospels to understand what took place. Jesus was preaching to a great crowd on the Sea of Galilee, and when he finished preaching to those, they were Jewish people. When he finished preaching to that great crowd, he told his disciples, let's get into the boat. Let us go to the other side. And I've preached many sermons on the trip, because on the trip there arose a great tempest. The winds begin to blow and the waves begin to get large and actually come into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. You know, when you know what your purpose is, you can rest and have confidence in that. The disciples are waking him up. Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? He said, oh, ye of little faith. He rebuked the winds and the waves, and then that freaked the disciples out. Boy, they were really afraid then. They were afraid of winds and waves, but now they're really afraid of the one who speaks to the winds and the waves. And I've preached just on that message many times, but I haven't preached enough on where he was going. See, Jesus knew what his purpose was. The disciples didn't know. I want to share with you what the purpose of that journey was. He went from thousands to step his feet out on the opposite shore, and there ran to him a man from the tombs. It was one man who already had a testimony. They call him, and this is not fair, they refer to him as the demoniac of Gadara, because that was his testimony. He was a demoniac. He was filled with not just one devil, but when Jesus said, "What is your name?" that voice called out and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He was possessed with many devils. Here's what the people knew of him. He didn't wear any clothes. He was a naked man. The Bible says that the countryside, they knew him because they could hear voices at night and screams and crying. Because many times he cried out in the middle of the night, disturbed their sleep. And in that night, he was cutting himself with stones, and blood was running down his arms. That was a testimony of the control of the devil. What Jesus does is he takes testimonies of the devil, and he delivers people so they can have a new testimony. Oh, hallelujah! There was a testimony that scared the local people. I know they were scared of the demoniacs in the tombs, but something really scared them was when they came out to see what was going on. And they look over there and they saw that man who they still refer to him as the demoniac, but not now. I said, not now. But he is sitting at the feet of Jesus with clothes on and in his right mind. Sitting there, I'm sure, listening to teaching and Jesus sharing some things. I really love what took place next. In the book of Mark, chapter 5, Jesus stepped into the ship, getting ready to go. Verse 18 says, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, in other words, asked him, that he might be with him. You've delivered me from that testimony. Can I come with you and have a testimony and be your disciple? Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. Jesus didn't allow him. But saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. You want to be my disciple? I want you to go back home and tell somebody what great things God has done for you. The next verse gets me excited. And he departed and began to publish. He became a publisher. That just means he began to tell everybody in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel.
Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven. Hear us from heaven.
If you would like someone to share your burden of prayer right now, call 361-633-3308 or log on to CalvaryLighthouseChurch.net. Answers has prayer partners throughout the KCTA listening area. God's promises are for you now. If you want to become part of Answers prayer team, let us know. We would be excited to share weekly prayer needs with you as a prayer partner. Also, if you have experienced an answer from God in prayer, call us. We want to rejoice with your praise report. Our number again is 361-633-3308. You can write us at Answers, P.O. Box 539, Portland, Texas, 78374. El Dios que servimos tiene la respuesta de necesidad. Si desea que alguien se asocie con usted en la oración, por favor, llámenos a 361-633-3308. Si Dios ha respondido su oración especial, danos tu reporte. Queremos alabar a Dios contigo. Respuestas es un ministerio en Calvary Lighthouse Church en Portland, Texas.